This is the Daily Refill, a project of Alatea.org. These are the stories you need to start your day.
I'm Father Patrick Mary Briscoe, and today I want to talk to you about St. Francis de Sales. Francis de Sales was a bishop of the church and ended up being recognized for his great theological insight as a doctor of the church. As a child, Francis showed great interest in ecclesiastical life. He received the tonsure at the age of 11, marking his status as a cleric. After studying philosophy and theology in Paris, he traveled to Padua in Italy and was awarded doctorates in both civil and canon law. This shows the depth of the knowledge of Francis de Sales. Look at all these different subject matters. An expert in different kinds of law, in both civil law, that's secular law, and canon law, ecclesiastical law, or the law of the church. It's just really incredible. It gives us a sense of his mind and his intellect. Following his ordination, Francis was made provost of the Swiss Diocese of Geneva and began a lifelong mission among the predominantly Calvinist population of the diocese. He was named Bishop of Geneva in 1602. In 1609, Francis composed his famous Introduction to the Devout Life, which, if you haven't looked at that book, is an amazing spiritual text. Sometimes we hear names in the church and we kind of hear the stories of saints, but we ourselves have not taken advantage of their writings. And for you, maybe St. Francis de Sales' Introduction to the Devout Life is one of those texts, right? To read that book, to really enter into it, could be a great aid to your prayer life. So I just wanted to pause and recommend that text. In an age of fanaticism and religious controversy, again, we're talking the beginning of the 17th century, where Protestantism, where very strict Protestant and aggressive Protestant groups are growing in Switzerland. In an age of fanaticism and religious controversy, Francis de Sales manifested exceptional discretion, prudence, and meekness. What an incredible thing to say about the leader of the church. And just to reiterate what that meant in the life of Francis de Sales, because the Calvinists controlled Geneva, he lived about 20 miles south. He was banned. He was exiled from the main city in his diocese. So he preached in the cathedral there at parish churches and before confraternities. But to get in and out of Geneva, he would leave notes or travel secretly at night. He really took extraordinary means to be present to his flock. In 1923, Pope Pius XI proclaimed him patron of writers and journalists because of his extensive use of writing of broadsheets, that is, little leaflets and newspapers, to reach his flock.
Coming up, we have news and an inspirational story. But if you'd like to read more about today's feast, reflect on the daily Mass readings, and learn new ways to pray, visit alatea.org, where you can also sign up for our newsletter. That's alatea.org.
Catholics for Choice use the National Shrine as a projection screen while pro-life Catholics attend the prayer vigil for life. A large sign read, "Pro-choice Catholics, you are not alone," at one of the many public events in conjunction with this year's March for Life. Not surprising, since there are usually a handful of pro-abortion counter-protesters at the annual march, which commemorates the anniversary of the Supreme Court's Roe v. Wade decision legalizing abortion nationwide. What was different about this sign is that it was spread across the facade of the Basilica of the National Shrine of the Immaculate Conception. And the Basilica, the largest Catholic church in America, was filled with pro-life Catholics attending Mass and the National Prayer Vigil for Life. The message, spread across the front of the Basilica like a banner headline, was being projected from a pedestrian island on Michigan Avenue by a small group from the pro-abortion advocacy group, Catholics for Choice. "One in four abortion patients is Catholic," said one projection. Another read, "Stop stigmatizing, start listening." First reported on Twitter by Religion News Service national reporter Jack Jenkins, the projections included the name Catholics for Choice. John Becker, spokesman for the group, confirmed to Alatea that it was Catholics for Choice that carried it out. While these projections were on the facade of the building, inside the building, Archbishop William E. Laurie of Baltimore was preaching, saying, "The church does not give up on men and women who have chosen abortion." He said the church seeks to bring light, healing, and hope.
Stick around because we have an inspirational story to share. You can discover today's top Catholic news stories and rich, insightful commentary composed by leading Catholic journalists at alatea.org. Or download the Alatea app to your smartphone or tablet. available on Apple and Android devices.
Are you familiar with Christian posters and cards about footprints in the sand? The story changes in different iterations, but essentially it's this. If you reviewed your life's walk with Jesus, represented by footprints on a beach, you would be delighted to see two pairs of footprints side by side, Jesus's and yours. But then you might notice that at the most difficult moments of your life, there's only one set of footprints. What happened, you might ask? Did you abandon me, Jesus? In one popular version of the poem, Jesus answers this way. During your times of trial and suffering, when you see only one set of footprints, it was then that I carried you. The version we know can be traced back to 20th century minor religious poets such as Mary Stevenson or Burrell Webb, but the sentiment is much older, maybe even as old as St. Anthony of the Desert. It all started when Anthony went to church one day and heard in the gospel Christ's call to leave everything and to follow him. Anthony applied the words to himself, gave everything he had to the poor, and entered the desert to begin epic battles with demons who he fought by prayer, fasting, and almsgiving. In the life of St. Anthony, St. Athanasius reports, Anthony kept vigil to such an extent that he often continued the whole night without sleep, and this not once but often to the marvel of others. Demons gave him no rest. St. Athanasius writes, changes of form for evil are easy for the devil, so in the night they make such a din that the whole of the place seemed to be shaken by an earthquake. The temptation of Anthony became a common subject in medieval art, with some horrifying and weird results. But Anthony found he could count on Jesus. One night, though, Jesus was missing as Anthony wrestled with evil. Finally, after hours, the Lord showed up, the demon suddenly vanished, and the pain of his body ceased. Anthony was a little miffed. Where were you? He asked the Lord. Why did you not appear at the beginning to make my pains cease? Anthony, I was here, but I waited to see your fight, Jesus answered. I will always be a helper for you. In a way, this is the opposite of the footprint story. But maybe the footprint story is wrong. It's not that Jesus is by our side, except for some moments. It's that our Lord carries us our entire lives. He carries us in his sacraments, in those around us, and in the providence by which he directs our lives.
Visit Alatea for inspiring Catholic news, spirituality, and lifestyle content. Keep up to date with the latest stories by following us on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. To receive Alatea straight to your inbox each day, sign up for our daily newsletter by visiting Alatea, Aletea.org.
This show is a production of the Spoke Street Media Podcast Network. For more great podcasts, visit SpokeStreet.com.